This is Express FM.
Supported by Portsmouth College.
We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing Play Up Pompey. It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
Well, here we go again. We had planned to be discussing the events of Pompey's League One fixture at Charlton Athletic this evening. However, Saturday's clash at the Valley fell victim to unprecedented rainfall, which left the playing surface impossible to conduct a match on. Instead tonight, well, it feels a bit like deja vu, because we will once again be previewing that game as it has been swiftly rearranged for Tuesday evening. Later on, we'll hear the pre-match thoughts of manager Kenny Jackett, who realises the difficulty of a task at hand tomorrow night.
It's a good standard at the top end of League One. Charlton are one of the sides anyway that have added well, you know, good squad of players. And, you know, I do expect it to be, you know, a very good quality game.
So, once again, we are looking for your score predictions between now and 7 o'clock ahead of Pompey's trip to Charlton. But we also have a few other questions for you as well. Do you think that Marcus Harness has been suffering a bit of a dip in form lately, and could this be down to him being pushed back out wide? Would you like to see either of, or perhaps both, of Charlie Daniels and George Byers start tomorrow's game at the Valley? And how have you rated Pompey's January transfer window? That slams shut at 11 o'clock tonight. Thank you for once again choosing Express FM for your latest Pompey fix. A very good evening, wherever you are, to the Monday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Well, good evening and welcome once again to the Express FM Football Hour, brought to you this season by Stagecoach Across the South. Tonight, I am back with two more Blues fans to preview the trip to Charlton Athletic, which was postponed on Saturday just an hour before kickoff. Referee Bobby Madley deemed the surface at the Valley unplayable following a few days of heavy rain in the capital. Pompey will now hit the road to attempt to play the Addicts tomorrow evening, meaning that the three of us tonight will be previewing that game for a second time in just 3 days. Rather fittingly, tomorrow is quite literally Groundhog Day, and it will certainly feel like that for the Pompey team, Liam and Ryan travelling up to the ground, and our colleagues in the press box as well. Hopefully, this time around, however, the game will go ahead. We do have a change in the lineup for this evening's show, however. Alex Fletcher and Blake O'Neill have very kindly agreed to call in and look ahead to tomorrow's match. We'll start off with you, Alex. A very good evening to you, mate, and thank you for coming on tonight.
Cheers, Jake. Thanks for having me on.
It's a pleasure as always, Alex. Back to Saturday then. The game was called off, Alex, and having seen the pictures and, well, the videos of the officials attempting to bounce the ball on the pitch and really pass it along the floor, it came as no surprise, really, that that match would be unable to go ahead.
Yeah, it's understandable, and it's very frustrating, I think, to happen at such a late hour. You know, obviously, within just an hour before the game, everyone's sort of ready. I certainly was woke up ready to watch the game, and it was a bit frustrating that that it didn't go ahead. But like I say, you don't want to play. You'd have to go back to sort of the 2002-03 season where I think we remember we played a game. I forget who it was against at Fratton Park, and Paul Merson was just saying it was some of the worst conditions he's ever played in. And you can see it wasn't the sort of suitable playing surface. So you wouldn't want that, any repeat of that, because as much as it can go in your favour, it's not really proper football. You can't really plan for it. So much as it's frustrating, I think we're happy that we've actually got it rescheduled very quickly, which is not usual. So, yeah, it's very frustrating, but like we'll say, we'll get it back tomorrow.
Blake O'Neill also joins us on the show tonight. Blake, it's great to hear from you again, my friend. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. Jake, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you, Blake. And back to Saturday's postponement, unfortunately. Do you think that in an age where, you know, unfortunately we are unable to welcome supporters inside football stadiums due to the, you know, the ongoing pandemic, were you still shocked to see the referee postpone the game so close to kickoff?
Yeah, I think it's definitely, bearing in mind the team had already arrived, you know, they were stood at the next to the pitch when he called it off. Jackett himself went and spoke to him. But I think if fans aren't travelling up, then it's not causing too many issues. The players were there the night before anyway, I think, from Pompey, so it didn't cause too much issues from them. They would have been going home afterwards anyway, so I don't think realistically it caused too many issues. However, I think he could have done it a bit earlier, but then if he felt like when he did it earlier it was too close to call, then maybe he did have to leave it till 2 p.m.
Yeah. For our show tonight, we'd love to hear the thoughts of you back home too. Is Marcus Harness suffering a dip in form as a result of being pushed out into a wide position? Who makes your Pompey starting 11 for tomorrow's game at Charlton? And what do you think the score is going to be? As usual, it's 81400 on the text, starting your messages with the word Express. Otherwise, you can email pompey@expressfm.com, tweet at ExpressFM, or go to facebook.com/PompeyLive. We've got an email from Alan Swift already. Good evening to you, Alan. Says, hi, Jake and co. So, the game's now on with a very likely muddy pitch. I've heard Kenny's reasons for omitting Jordy Hawula, and I cannot accept them. He chooses to play with a midfielder/winger in apparently the second striker spot in order to easily revert back to his favoured 4-2-3-1. His is not a genuine 4-4-2. That's the way that he likes it. But I do not, says Alan Swift on the emails, who goes on to say, there should be a couple of changes tomorrow, hopefully including Hawula and Byers, and maybe Charlie Daniels too, when I hope we scrape a lucky 1-0 win. Some of the players need to ask questions of themselves. Alan in Southsea. Alex, very interesting point Alan is raising there about the deployment of a 4-4-2 formation from Kenny Jackett in recent months. Can you get on board with what Alan is kind of hinting at, that maybe it is kind of like a false 4-4-2 formation? It's kind of an easy way for Kenny to revert back to that 4-2-3-1 with the players that are on the pitch. Do you go along with that?
I must say, I can't really agree with that. I think, you know, there have been times, particularly in the second half of the Hull game recently, where we did revert to perhaps a sort of 4-1-4-1 or whatever it was. And to be honest, I think that was, we just sort of fell apart after that. I do think there's elements of it, but I think from the start, I think it would be fair to say we are playing a 4-4-2 formation. You watch the games and you can see Harness and Williams often interchanging, but they are playing up against each other. And I don't agree that it is sort of, you know, Kenny's excuse to go back to this old formation. I do think he is playing a system, but it's I think it's more a case of whether the personnel are correct in those positions. There are a lot of players that are playing in what I would describe as unnatural positions for them, things like that. So I wouldn't fully agree, but I do understand the frustration. And I do think, from what we've experienced of Kenny Jackett, it wouldn't surprise any of us if he were doing that. So I can understand the perspective.
Yeah, and understandably, Blake, there is an air of frustration around that at the moment, you know, with two consecutive league defeats at home to both Hull and Lincoln, a 4-0 thrashing at Fratton Park before, of course, that 1-0 loss in midweek to Lincoln last week. And, you know, that's two matches, 5 goals conceded, none scored. And if we're honest, there wasn't really much creativity in either matches to look like we were going to score. So what do you pinpoint this dip in form down to? Because we hope it's not going to carry on. And, you know, I think we could all safely sit here and say that we will pick up form again. We are going to start winning games. We will, you know, build that momentum up again. We've come up against two very good teams. But what would you personally pinpoint those two results down to?
Well, I think obviously we will get back to it eventually. I think it's quite hard because you think 6 games or 5 games without conceding a goal before it. But I think Hull, I think we were 1-0 down at half time. If I could pinpoint that game, I'd say possibly the changes at half time. I'm not saying that the changes at half time lost us the game, but they definitely made it so that it would be more goals against us, possibly. And then in the Lincoln game, it's easy to pinpoint that one. I think the red card changed it completely. Whether or not you think it was a red card, it definitely changed the game. We did very well to sit back and defend, but eventually it was always going to catch up with us, that goal. But I think we've just lacked kind of a bit of that spark in midfield, the finishing ability recently. That's about all I can pinpoint it down to anyway.
Yeah, and coming up against the Charlton side tomorrow night now, Alex, a team who have beaten Pompey on their last 4 meetings. Not a great record the Blues have going into this one. Could say a bit of a bogey team actually for Pompey, but it's going to be a very tough game. They've recruited well in January as well. They're starting to climb up the table. They're actually creeping into those playoff positions now, really starting to threaten the likes of Pompey and Harlan Lincoln and even Peterborough up there as well. It's going to be a very tough game. Can you see this one panning out in the same vein as the last two matches, or are you of the opinion that going to the Valley, Pompey away from home with, you know, the best away record in the division, going to a team who usually have such a great backing on home turf, do you think this could play in Pompey's favour?
I think potentially. I think you could say that for a lot of clubs at the moment. I think, to be honest with you, what's going to win us the game tomorrow is going to be a case of psychology, not tactics. You know, you don't want those. Maybe the enforced break of a few days has helped the players to kind of get over that little bit of confidence they will have lost. Okay, I think Jack Watmore will be a miss. But it very much does depend on the attitude of the players. I think that's going to be. I think we've certainly got the team and the ability to go and beat Charlton. It's all about how they approach the game. And the last few games, as Blake said, were inherently different in what went wrong. I think at times we were architects of our own downfall. I think other times we were unlucky. So I think it's very much a mixture of the two, and it very much does depend how we go and approach that game and whether we're able to come away with the result. I think a lot of Pompey fans will be wanting to see a strong performance, but it's really about getting back on track and just building that confidence. The confidence we had before the Hull game, which was sky high, in my opinion.
Yeah. And because of the postponement on Saturday, Blake, that leaves Pompey with a rather congested league fixture coming up. 8 games for Pompey in February, starting tomorrow and ending at home to Gillingham on the 27th. 8 games in the space of 25 days. That is crazy. That's it's an incredible turnaround. And actually, when you look at the fixtures we've got coming up, I'll go through them now. So, of course, tomorrow night, away to Charlton Athletic. On Saturday, we are home to Plymouth Argyle. Next Tuesday, the 9th of February, we're at home to Swindon. The following Saturday, we are away to Crewe, then followed up by an away tie at Bristol Rovers, the rearranged fixture from December. That's Tuesday, the 16th of February. Blackpool at home follows on the 20th on Saturday, and then it's Oxford away on Tuesday the 23rd, Gillingham at home on Saturday the 27th. And to be honest, it doesn't stop there into March. Tuesday the 2nd, Doncaster away. Saturday the 6th, Northampton Town away. Sunderland at home on Tuesday the 9th, and Peterborough away on Saturday the 13th of March. And then we've got a 7-day break, because our next game then isn't until Saturday the 20th, when we play Ipswich at home. So yeah, that is somewhat 12 matches in the next, 5 weeks, Blake, where we've got non-stop Tuesday, Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday. And although this could be one of those aspects where you look at it and think, OK, we could suffer fatigue, we could pick up a few injuries, this could affect us mentally. On the flip side of that, you start to build a run, you get a few wins together. This could actually work in Pompey's favour. Having all these games to play in such a quick period of time, if we get on that run, we could really start to climb the table.
Yeah, definitely. I think you made the point there that if we get these games through, we play them quickly, we play positively, we get the wins, then you're going to keep the mentality up. If we can just put the last two games behind us, not think about them too much, especially if we win tomorrow night, I think that would set us off perfectly for these fixtures. They may be difficult, but I think we definitely have the squad to get through it. We have people on the bench, Hiwula, we've now got quite a few central midfielders in, even the lone ones. Maybe our strike force isn't really a lot of people up front, but you can still put Harness up there if need be, Williams up there, Marquis up there, and Harrison can go there if needed, Hiwula can go there. We've got people in every position, even at centre-back where it's weak at the minute. After Watmore comes back, we've then got 4 senior centre-backs, so we've definitely got the depth to do it. And I think, once again, if you keep your mentality up, you win, and then you just get in the habit of winning, don't you?
Yeah, and a point raised there by Blake, Alex, is the suspension of Jack Watmore. We highlighted it, of course, on Friday night. He will miss tomorrow's game at Charlton, and then the home fixtures against Plymouth and Swindon on Saturday and next Tuesday. He'll be back for the visit to Crewe on Saturday the 13th. A big miss he's going to be to this Pompey side in the next 3 games, and you can't really underestimate that.
Yeah, of course. I think he has been a sort of focal point in the team, and I think he was very, very unlucky against Hull, you know, sort of scoring 2 own goals, and then, you know, when it rains, it pours, I suppose, because you then go and get the red card in midweek. I think he'd been pretty consistent all season. He had been, you know, the thing for him, he's always had the ability. It's just the injuries and the problems he's had. It will be a miss, but I do think, you know, you'd likely see Nikolaisen come back into the team, and perhaps some of his performances have been varied, but I think he is a suitable replacement. You'd view him as a replacement, perhaps not the first team starter. You'd perhaps expect Jack to come back into the squad when his suspension was finished, but, it, you know, I don't think it's a real cause for massive concern. I think what it's all about now is just that's what we accept it. Give those players confidence, give them the chance, and get behind them in whatever way we can. Really, that's as much as we're not in the stadium, we can still support them.
Yeah, Adam Swift has got back in touch on the emails. Hi again. Playing either Williams or Harness as a striker does not count as in position. I can't agree with the guest analysis, unfortunately. I think he's missed the point. Neither are natural strikers in a 4-4-2. Alan in Southsea. And Alex, of course, he's referring to the point, you know, we made previously about this kind of false 4-4-2. And whilst we understand what Alan's saying, you know, neither Marcus Harness or Ryan Williams are, you know, natural strikers. But one of the questions I posed at the start of the show is Marcus Harness suffering a bit of dip in form because he's been pushed back out into a wide position, which is, of course, his natural role. But we've seen at the start of the season when he's been playing alongside John Marquis in that 4-4-2, regardless of the fact he's not actually an out-and-out striker, Pompey were playing better football. He was scoring more goals. He was certainly, you know, lighting things up on the pitch. So although, as Alan, you know, rightfully points out, Marcus Harness not a striker, do you think Pompey actually benefit from having him play as a striker?
Yeah, I think that's the thing. It is a case of the formation. We had the formation down, and I think it was quite sort of fresh relief for the squad, no matter who was playing up there. And like you say, Marcus was firing. He has still scored a couple of goals recently against Fleetwood and Wimbledon. You know, I think he's perhaps not firing on all cylinders as we would like him to, but he's definitely benefiting from having somebody there. I think all Pompey fans had said that for a while, that he definitely needs support. That's how he found success at Doncaster and things like that. So I think really we've got to the stage now where teams know we're playing that formation, and the players have got used to it. They're not feeling as fresh and as invigorated by the formation. So I think we do then have to move to looking towards the personnel. And I would love to see two out-and-out strikers up front. I'd love to see Mark with Hiwula personally. But at the same time, you look at the fact that when Harness and Williams have played in the positions next to Marquis, that they have invariably have scored goals, and they've both had purple patches in the season. So I think it's a case of being able to persist with it. I don't like the fact that if we do cause problems, Jack, it does seem to revert to type and go back to different formations and chopping and changing. It is very frustrating, but hopefully it's a case of just getting it right and we just get that. It's all about confidence. That's what it's all about. If you can get a partnership that feels confidence, I don't really think it matters too much who you have there.
Yeah. OK, very soon we'll be hearing the pre-match thoughts of manager Kenny Jackett, who's aiming to see improvements from Tuesday's defeat to Lincoln, but still has confidence in his side turning things around.
A lot of things that we need to do in a short space of time, and we can do that. We can get back to, you know, what we consider to be our best. You know, you're looking at that side, it's our best side, it's our best team, and, you know, we have to keep working at that and realise what our strengths are within that.
We'll also be continuing to read through your texts, tweets and emails. Be sure to get involved if you've yet to do so. 81400 is the number to text your name and message to. Be sure to start those with the word Express. Pompey at expressfm.com is where to send your emails. It's at expressfm on Twitter, or you can head to facebook.com/Pompey Live. I'll be back with Alex and Blake very shortly to continue our look ahead to tomorrow night's League One fixture between Charlton and Pompey, right here on 93.7 Express FM. Stick around for part two of this Monday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to the Monday Football Hour on Express FM, driven to you tonight by Stagecoach across the South. To find out the latest information on timetables, fares and COVID-related guidelines, visit stagecoachbus.com. Before the break, Alex opened a bit of a can of worms by mentioning the name Jordy Hiwula, Blake, but in fact a good point has been raised this evening. Where is he? And what has he done to not even deserve making the bench in recent matches, Blake? How do you view this one? Where is Jordy Hiwula?
Well, I think it's a bit weird because he's definitely a player that can bring us something off the bench. Lots of fans have been calling his name when we're in losing situations or saying 0-0 or needing a goal from somewhere. He's got that spark, whether he gets played on the wing or whether he does get played up front. Especially bearing in mind our only natural strikers, you could say, in our squad now are Marquis and Harrison, in terms of players that are known to play up there in their career. Hiwula is possibly our third natural striker, and if he's not in the squad, we only have one in Marquis, and that's it. So I think it is definitely weird when there's been no news of an injury or anything to him, but we've re-signed him, and ever since that re-signing, he hasn't really been seen for us. So I don't really know how to explain it. Yeah. It's quite weird, in my opinion.
Now, of course, we don't see what goes on in training, Alex, unfortunately. But, you know, you mentioned before the break, you'd like to see Jordi Huila named up front with John Marquis in these upcoming matches. Now, in regards to Ellis Harrison, you know, we've previously spoken on the Football Hour about what he brings to the team and the fact that he can bring the players around him into the game, and he's very influential in doing so. But has he done anything to warrant perhaps being ahead of Jordi Huila in the pecking order based on the form of the last probably month or two? Jordi Huila's popped up with a few fantastic goals in cup competitions against the likes of Kings Lynn and Cheltenham Town. Ellis Harrison, on a bit of a dry patch as it, when it comes to goal scoring. And as a striker, that's really what you're looking for.
Yeah, of course. I think, to be honest with you, I don't think Ellis Harrison has done anything in particular in recent weeks to merit a position over Huila. I think actually Huila, I would say, has merited it more when he has come into the team. I know Harrison scored a goal in the loss at Peterborough in the EFL Trophy, which was pretty stunning. But sort of beyond that, I don't think there's been too much from him. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think really he has, you know, he's been a good player for us at times when he has been into the team, and I do think he still plays his part. I think he's just got to be able to sort of focus on what that part is. I think sometimes he does look a little bit lost on the pitch at times, and someone like Huila, who has got that little bit more experience, and who just does look more composed. Whether he is more experienced or not, he looks more composed on the ball from what I've seen of him. So I'd say Huila is probably ahead in the pecking order if there was going to be a striker that would come into the team. And in my opinion, that should be a striker partnering Marquis.
Yeah, and because we're all about balance here on the Football Hour, Blake, you've got to mention the stats relating to Ellis Harrison this season. In all competitions, 21 appearances, 4 goals and 1 assist, only 935 minutes from those 21 appearances. Again, not a player who starts too many games. So, you know, we can mention about his form and Jordi Huila's form and the fact that, okay, Jordi Huila probably has, well, I think he's actually scored the same amount of goals, but in a lot, you know, less game time. But it's hard for Ellis Harrison, and you've got to give him, you know, you've got to feel sorry for him on this aspect, but it's hard for a striker to build up any momentum when he's not playing on a weekly basis. So whilst, you know, yes, perhaps at the moment, Jordi maybe should be ahead of him in the pecking order based on goals scored, but actually when you can't get that run going, it is unfortunate for Ellis Harrison.
Yeah, definitely. I think one thing as a striker, especially after the goal against Peterborough, he's probably thinking, well, I've scored now, right, I might be in the squad this weekend, or I might actually get a start. But then he didn't. He might have been in the squad. I wasn't sure if he started. He definitely didn't start, but he might have been on the bench. I'm not quite sure. But he, especially when he does get his goals, I think you said 900 or so minutes, which is 10 games it equates to. So 10 games, 4 goals, 1 assist. That's not awful stats for a striker. You do want more in a team that hunts in promotion, but when you're not playing, even if those games are, 15 minutes off the bench, in that 15-minute spell, you're not going to be able to get into the game enough to actually bang a goal top corner or to be able to get into the game physically enough, in my opinion anyway.
Yeah, and what a goal that was, by the way, Ellis Harrison at Peterborough and the trophy as well. Injury time, 5-0 down, Ellis Harrison outside the box, way outside the box as well. An exquisite finish into the top-hand corner, like you say, Blake, a fantastic goal. But unfortunately, not quite getting the rub of the green in terms of appearances this season for Pompey. Let's talk about Pompey's January transfer business now, Alex. Of course, the transfer window slams shut at 11 o'clock this evening. We're hearing nothing's going to happen at Pompey in terms of incomings or outgoings. As far as Kenny Jackett is concerned, we are done for January. And when you look at the size of the squad due to the salary cap, of course, we do have the maximum of 22 players over the age of 21 registered to the team. So if we were to make any more signings, someone would have to depart. And as it stands, no one is anywhere near to leaving Fratton Park today. So the business is done. How have you rated Pompey's transfer window?
I think, to be honest with you, it's been decent. I think actually, if you asked a lot of Pompey fans coming into the window, the majority of them had said that we didn't need a massive sort of overhaul or bring loads of players in. I think we just needed a couple of positions, and those positions probably were central midfield and left back, whereby we've brought in Byers and Charlie Daniels. Obviously, we've got the addition of a new goalkeeper as well, which just covers our squad with injuries and all these problems, and They have seen sort of players, outgoings as well, which I think have been smart. I think it's been smart transfer business, to be honest with you. On paper, it's obviously a case of what we see on the pitch. Losing Pring, I think, was tricky because we had that left back cover and he was playing decent football, I would say. So having Daniels being brought into the team, in my opinion, I'd like to see him in the team. That's important. And I think overall it's not been too bad. I don't think many of us were asking for too much. And like I said, with the salary cap, we can't really ask for too much. No. So it's all down to the performances now. But actually, I think it's been a decent window.
Let's have a quick run through of the transfer window so far then. And I say so far, it's done. Nothing's going to happen. If anything happens between now and 11 o'clock, then I'll eat my words up. But nothing's going to happen. Lewis Ward has been brought in on loan from Exeter City from League Two. Goalkeeper, of course, will start from a goalkeeper to further afield on the pitch. He is joined on loan, of course, due to the injury sustained to Alex Bass. Cam Pring, of course, recalled by Bristol City, but left back. And as a result, free agent Charlie Daniels, former AFC Bournemouth. And earlier this season at Shrewsbury Town, left back has been brought into the club until the end of the campaign. Rico Hackett-Fairchild has been sent to Southend United on loan, having spent the first half of the season at Bromley. Bryn Morris, of course, sent on loan to Northampton Town at the lower depths of League One, hopefully trying to get some minutes there for him. And as a result, both Harvey White and George Byers have been loaned in to the club. Both on loan, Harvey White from Tottenham Hotspur and George Byers in from Swansea City. Again, same question to you really now, Blake. Pompey's January transfer business, smart, or would you like to see in a little bit more?
I think based on what we kind of needed, what was going, if anything was going wrong at the time, I think we've got all we needed. I think there's a creative player there. There's a defensive-minded midfielder there. There's cover at left-back, which is definitely what we needed. If I could have asked for anything more, I may have said another striker or centre-back. But then you're thinking, Watmore wasn't banned then. There's nothing you could say. You've also then got the problem of striker, but Hawula did sign a new deal, I think, in January. So you could possibly count him on. So I think if you're going to go off what other clubs have done, you compare them, you think wage cap as well, you think in the current COVID financial climate as well, you can't really be bringing players in for 2-3 million in January especially. So I think, personally, I think the win...
I think we may have lost Blake there due to a connection issue. But that's what happens when we are in lockdown, unfortunately, here on the Football Hour. We can't have guests in the studio because of the ongoing restrictions due to the pandemic, but we'll try and get Blake back as soon as possible. We've got an email here from Anthony who says, I believe tomorrow's match will be very hard for Pompey and we'll be lucky to get a result. I'm going for a draw, says Anthony on the emails. And like Anthony, if you'd like to get in touch tonight, you can. You have just under half an hour to do so. Would you like to see Rodon Curtis or Michael Jacobs start tomorrow's game at the Valley? Should Marcus Harness be redeployed up front alongside John Marquis? And is tomorrow's match a must win for Pompey if they want to keep alive their hopes of achieving automatic promotion? To contact us, you can either text the word express followed by your name and message to 81400, or you can email pompey@expressfm.com, include @expressfm within your tweets, or comment on our Facebook page. facebook.com/pompeylive is where to find us. Before the break, we heard a snippet of the pre-match thoughts of Kenny Jackett, and now we're going to take a listen to the full extent of that interview with Jack Fallon. But Gaffer first reflects on the application of his side in the midweek defeat to Lincoln at Fratton Park.
Yeah, disappointed to lose all of the time. I do think over the last two games, Hull and Lincoln, although they're vastly different games, and obviously the sending off had a big effect on it, I don't think we've been at our best. The players going down to 10 men showed great spirit, energy, effort, and were very unlucky even at the end not to get the goal back, and very unlucky not to get a point out of that game. And, you know, I was proud of their efforts after that. But similarly, even up to that point, I don't think we've been at our best, and that was the way it was at Hull. So, you know, we've got to applaud the players for their spirit when they went down to 10 men. Unlucky not to get anything out of the game, but we do need to improve off the back of the two games. I mean, that's a fact. In midfield, we haven't got on the ball enough, although there's been good individual performances. Andy Cannon again, Tom Naylor, you know, been very, very good. But similarly, you know, through that area, we have to be more constructive, I do feel that. And then also as well, at the right time, provide more support for John Marquis up front. You know, they're the two big things. And although, you know, we've conceded some goals, goals. It can't be all about just getting the back four right necessarily. While, you know, we've got a detail or two wrong and we've, you know, identified that at a set piece or two, the two first things are the main ones where, you know, we look to, you know, be honest and accurate of our assessment of the last two games and where we need to improve.
You've had a session with the players this morning. How have they reacted in training?
Yeah, it was heavy ground on the training ground. So, you know, it was a good session, an interesting session. A lot of things that we need to do in a short space of time. And we can do that. We can get back to, you know, what we consider to be our best. You know, you're looking at that side. It's our best side. It's our best team. And you know, we have to keep working at that and realise what our strengths are within that.
Your remarks on Tuesday after the game that we'd hit 23 Sky Bet League One games. How do you reflect on the opening half of the season?
Not bad. And we're in a good position. You know, certainly we don't think anybody's got away from us, you know, with the amount of games still to play. As you say, 23 games, you know, is a lot of games. So it is about what we do going forward. But similarly, we can't just say that, you know, in the last two games we've been at our best either. And so there's plenty of the season to go. Look forward, try to get it right, realise that we have set standards that have been higher of what we've done in the last two games, and then look forward, you know, with a positive outlook towards Charlton.
Moving on to Charlton, they're obviously a big team in this league. Like Portsmouth, had a bit of a mixed bag of results over the last five in the league. What are you expecting from them on Tuesday night?
Yeah, again, one of the sides that have come down out of the Championship and will be looking to go straight back up. It's a good standard at the top end of League One. Charlton are one of the sides anyway that have added well, good squad of players, and you know, I do expect it to be, you know, a very good quality game at the Valley.
Yeah, Lee Bowyer is relatively new into the sort of managerial game. What do you make of him, the way he sets up, the way he wants his teams to play?
Yeah, excellent. I really like Lee, and you know, him and Steve Gallen, a lot of respect, really do feel that they've done well and done well for that club in their time there.
Moving on to the January transfer window is obviously ending at the end of this week. We've managed to bring in Lewis. What's the reasoning there?
Yeah, Alex Bass's injury, it is a stress fracture and it's been very slow, and so we do feel that we need another goalkeeper with some league experience. And you know, for us anyway, we're delighted that 23 Lewis comes in. He will add competition, I think. He's got a complement as well in terms of his strengths and weaknesses to the two players that we've had, so he'll want to come here and do well. It's a big chance for him as well. But you know, for us, we do feel that with Alex's injury, we have to cover that. We're always going to assess the goalkeeping situation at the end of January anyway. Let's say Alex was maybe a week away and we had every confidence it would be okay, we may have taken a chance. But with it being now, it looks, you know, all of or most of February, that's where it is. And as I said at the start, with a stress fracture, you never know. It's not something that you can push through or rush. There are other injuries that you can, you know, the last pit, you can just push and get through and be okay, maybe take some painkillers. You know, with a stress fracture, you can't. The bone will heal at his own pace. And for Alex, you know, he's doing everything he possibly can to get back, but it does look at the moment like it's a slow process.
Finally, Kenny, had a bit of a cameo appearance from George Byers and Charlie Daniels on Tuesday night. What have you made of them in that game around training, and are you expecting to see a bit more of them on Saturday?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, both have come here to play, and as has Harvey White, you know, and I've been very impressed with all three of them, with the three players that going out. You know, we do feel the three lads coming in can really help us in the second half of the season.
Manager Kenny Jackett there with his own preview of this week's clash with Charlton Athletic at the Valley. If you just tuned in and you've been living under a rock for the last couple of days, don't worry, you haven't woken up on Friday morning again. We are here now on Monday, unfortunately. But we are once again previewing Pompey's trip to Charlton, which was called off an hour before kick-off on Saturday. The Blues will now travel to South London to take on Lee Bowyer's side as soon as tomorrow night for a 7 o'clock kick-off. I believe we're now joined again by Alex Fletcher and Blake O'Neill. And just very quickly before we do head into our second and final break of the night, Blake, it's been discussed in the last week or so the potential options for last season's EFL Trophy final. We heard a few weeks ago that refunds would now be sent out to supporters of both sides who purchased tickets for the game, meaning, of course, unfortunately, due to what's going on at the moment due to COVID-19, the match will be played behind closed doors. EFL, Pompey and Salford City wanting to get that done as soon as possible, Blake. But suggestions this week that it could be played as a pre-season match before the next campaign due to the congested fixture list of both Pompey and Salford this season. Do you think that could work?
Oh, well, I think it definitely is an option. It's got to be thought about because, quite simply, you don't have much time. As you said earlier, Pompey have got 8 games this month alone. That congested fixture list continues into next month and for the rest of the season. You know, there's what, 20, 53 league games left to play in 4 or 5 months, maybe not even that now. So it's definitely, I don't think, going to be able to fit into this kind of fixture list as it stands. However, they've got to think there's still the final for this year's competition to play as well. Whether they do them both on the same day, like they do the EFL Trophy and EFL FA Vars, or whatever they call it now, the Vars and the Shield, whether they do it like that, because they play those two on the same day at Wembley Stadium. They could do that with the last year's and this year's Cup, I suppose. But they've also talked about maybe moving the ground to somewhere else, which once again could be an option to kind of take away some of the congestion, especially now that Wembley also has to host, you know, the FA Cup final, the Carabao Cup final. So there's a lot of arguments for both sides.
Yeah, and not to mention as well, Alex, but as things stand, Wembley still, of course, has to host the Euros this year. As far as we know, that, you know, the semi-finals and the final are still taking place at Wembley. We haven't heard anything differently. So as things stand, they will also be played at Wembley. And as Blake mentioned, there have been suggestions of moving this EFL Trophy final away from the National Stadium to a neutral ground. Where would you like to see this be played? Now, obviously, it goes without saying, but, OK, playing it at Wembley is probably a little bit pointless at this stage. Fans won't be able to go, so that carrot is gone. The players who were playing for both sides throughout last season's run, half of them don't even play for the teams anymore. You know, both teams have adapted from that. So it's not quite the spectacle we were looking forward to at the time. It essentially is going to be, OK, you've won the title, now let's go home. No one's going to be too bothered by it. Now, in terms of geographical reasons, Salford being Manchester, Pompey being way down south, are we looking at sort of like a Midlands, perhaps like a, I don't know, like a Burton Albion or a Walsall to host this one?
Perhaps. It's very tricky, to be honest with you, because you look at the games that were played at Wembley last year behind closed doors, you look at the cup finals and semi-finals, all the playoff finals. I think there is still something in it for those players to play at Wembley, even if it is empty. There's nothing in it for fans, I don't think, in my opinion, but I think there is still something in it for the players. And I think it would be particularly for the Salford players, actually, considering where their club has come from and sort of rising through the leagues and things like that very quickly with the money behind them. I think it would be perhaps maybe slightly unfair to take it away from Wembley. However, that being said, economically and like you say, for the games that are going on at Wembley, I don't know how it would affect the clubs, whether without ticket money they would lose money. I don't really know the sort of logistics of it, but I think it's a case of the hierarchies of the EFL, Pompey and Salford, just need to sort of get around the table. And if they did decide to play at a smaller venue, even a top stadium, perhaps...
Villa Park?
Exactly. One of the Premier League clubs, if they were willing to allow that, and perhaps if they get a payday from it, they might be willing to do that. And if it does mean moving geographics, it's all about just getting a coherent mix. It's such a shame because we were very excited for it last year and we did get through. But we'll just have to see how it goes. And hopefully we get it done soon. I think it would still mean something to the players to win it, even though there are no fans there.
OK, it is time now for our second and final break of this evening's show. In just a few moments' time, we'll be hearing from Connor Mosley, who provides a closer look at this week's opposition. And we'll be continuing to preview the midweek trip to Charlton, as well as going through your score predictions from back home as well. Right here on the only radio station proud to be passionately Pompey, you're listening to the Football Hour on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening and welcome back to the Monday Football Hour, brought to you this season alongside Stagecoach Across the South. Download the Stagecoach app from either the Apple app or Google Play Store now to plan and even book tickets for your next journey. This is your final warning to get your thoughts and score predictions through to us on the show tonight. What would your starting lineup look like for tomorrow's game? And who do you see coming out on top come the final whistle at around 10 to 9? Text the word EXPRESS followed by your name and message to 81400 to get in touch. Alternatively, you can email Pompey at expressfm.com, use at expressfm in your tweets, or head to facebook.com/PompeyLive. Now we're going to take a listen back, as we did on Friday evening, to the lowdown on Charlton Athletic, as provided by Connor Mosley.
Following back-to-back league defeats for the first time in 2 years under Kenny Jackett, the Blues are heading back on the road for their next adventure. Awaiting Pompey at the Valley in London is Charlton Athletic.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
Tuesday night's 1-0 defeat at home to Lincoln City was Portsmouth's second loss and second game without scoring in the space of just 3 days, following last week's 4-0 embarrassment against Hull City. This weekend, however, the Blues have the chance to get right back on track. Matchday 24 has arrived, which means it's time to kickstart the second half of the season. And here's what we know about Charlton Athletic, also known as the Addicts, going into the game.
Manager.
The South London side are managed by former Leeds, Newcastle and West Ham midfielder Lee Bowyer, who was born nearby in Canning Town, and he spent time at the club as a youth, signing his first pro contract at Charlton in 1994. Bowyer, who's now 44 years of age, represented England at under 18 and under 21 levels and made his senior debut in 2002 in a friendly against Portugal, though this would prove to be his first and last outing in a Three Lions shirt. After retiring in 2012, Bowyer spent a handful of years out of the game, but Charlton came calling with a managerial position offer in 2018, less than a season after he initially took the role of assistant manager under Carl Robinson. Since his appointment, Bowyer has achieved a win percentage of 41.5 from 147 games and has already led the side to promotion from League One via the playoffs in 2019.
One to watch.
Keep tabs on Charlton's number nine this weekend, Jaden Stockley, who signed on an end-of-season loan deal from Preston North End earlier this month. The AFC Bournemouth youth product has a whole host of loan experience under his belt, including a year at Portsmouth during the 2015-16 League Two campaign, where he scored 2 goals from just 9 appearances for Pompey. Since leaving Fratton Park, Stockley scored a total of 45 goals in 88 appearances across 2 stints at Exeter City, with a year in Scotland with Aberdeen in between. In 2019, the forward joined Championship outfit Preston, but has failed to reach the goal-scoring heights of previous seasons, since netting just 9 times in 65 matches.
Top scorer.
The Addicts' leading scorer at present is 27-year-old forward Chuck Sanike, who is 9 to his name so far this season. Sanike joined Charlton in the summer of 2019 as the club embarked on life back in the Championship, though he did just manage 1 goal in 20 appearances in the second tier, from which they would eventually be relegated from. He began his career at Arsenal, spending 13 years in total at the club between 2001 and 2014, turning professional in 2010. Sanike never made a senior appearance for the Gunners, but instead had spells on loan in the Football League with Stevenage, Preston North End and Crewe Alexandra.
Current form.
Charlton have been a bit of a mixed bag recently, but have still managed to maintain their position in the playoffs, currently occupying 6th place on 40 points, though they have played 25 games already, which is more than any other team in the division. Over their last 10 league matches, Lee Bowyer's side have picked up 3 wins, 4 draws and 3 defeats, with those victories all coming against sides currently 16th or below in the standings. The Addicts have won each of the previous 4 meetings with Pompey, earning the side the title of bogey team amongst Blues supporters in recent seasons. Pompey's last win against Charlton came in December 2017, when now Hull striker Josh McGuinness put the ball into the back of his own net to spoil the occasion marked as a celebration of the club's 25th anniversary back at their beloved home. Will it be a 3rd league defeat in a row for Kenny Jackett's men, or will the Blues turn their fortunes around? All of the unmissable action is right here on Pompey Live.
Connor Mosley there with a closer look at Charlton Athletic, who will try once more to host the Blues for the League One fixture at the Valley tomorrow evening. Chris Gibbs on Twitter, good evening to you, Chris. He's tweeted in saying, do you think they have had time to sort the pitch? Chris, I've got my fingers crossed, I've got my toes crossed. Hopefully. Hopefully. It does seem like quite a quick turnaround, and when you saw the pictures from Saturday, didn't look too good, did it? And it would be quite phenomenal if they can turn that around and fix the grass ahead of tomorrow's game. But they seem confident of doing so, Chris, so hopefully we'll have a match on our hands around this time tomorrow. On Facebook, in regards to the question posed at the start of the show about Marcus Harness and should he be redeployed up front alongside John Marquis this week for this week's trip to Charlton, Mark Luter says yes. Pat Johnson also says yes. Roger Bartlett, definitely. Jackett prefers reversing to his usual negative formation has gone wrong again. We must show attack intent, such as Lincoln Hull did against us. And Sam Wilmot has got involved as well. He says, yes, Hahn has found his form as the second striker, and since he is out wide again, seemed to drop off a bit with his quick feet and ability in finding gaps around the edge of a box. It suits him more than it does out wide. And Paul O'Neill, your dad, Blake, has got in touch. He says, yes, put Hardis up top, and I would also start Daniels, Byers and Jacobs from the off. As mentioned before, Curtis looks tired and low on confidence. I believe Charlton are there for the taking, and our hit and miss at home. If we go after them from the first whistle, I feel we have the players and strength and depth to beat them. Play at Pompey. Paul O'Neill on Facebook, and I'll throw this over to you, Blake, soon as that is your father. Mentioning Roland Curtis looking a little bit tired, low in confidence in the last few matches, suggesting that Michael Jacobs does start ahead of him tomorrow night. Is that something you can agree with?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Curtis
not that you really like to agree
been
with
our
your
star
dad.
Player for the last... not necessarily, but over the last couple of years, I think Curtis has definitely been our star player. If you had to pick one out that would go for the most money in terms of the transfer market, I think Curtis has been that player. However, since he got struck down with COVID, he came back in, started the first game back, which in my opinion, I don't think he should have, because Jacket changed the winning team, something that you shouldn't do really as a manager, in my opinion. Mm. If you've got a winning team on a good run, you shouldn't really be changing too much unless you get injuries or red cards. Then Curtis put in kind of lackluster performance in the 4-0 loss. I think I heard someone said about it, Jacket shouting at him for not getting back enough, possibly. But he then started him again on Tuesday night, which we went, okay, well, he's clearly trying to prove a point. He's going to try and get the players to win and then the confidence will be back up. But then we lost again. Personally, I agree with Dad there. He says Jacob should come in. I think he should. He can put a good ball in the box. He's good on his feet. Even when he came on against, I think it was Lincoln, he did come on against in the end. He definitely posed a couple of problems for their back line in terms of he knocked the ball around and ran into them, had a bit more creativity, in my opinion. Mm.
Luke Ellis on Twitter says, I think Charlton are a much better team than us personally, so maybe, and I can't say this word, a rubbish pitch on Tuesday night will help us out, says Luke Ellis on Twitter. Dan Horton also on Twitter, 100% Marcus Harness alongside John Marquis tomorrow night. His best form this season was when he was playing up top. Why don't Kenny and Joe Gallen see this? That is Dan Horton there on Twitter. Adam Dark says he's always got a goal in him and he works very hard, and this is in relation to Roland Curtis this time. But such a limited player in terms of game intelligence. So many attacks break down with him. He needs to simplify his game. But at this level, always worth having in the team. Adam Dark with a very balanced and a very fair analysis there on Roland Curtis. Whereas Aaron on Twitter, Blue Army 91, says, I would say no, Jacobs has to be in front of him tomorrow, in my opinion. Richard Eyre would like to see Jordi Hawula given his chance. He is proving he has the ability to score and create. Could offer something different. The longer he stays on the sidelines, the more frustration will build. He stayed with us when he could have left. Give him his chance. Richard Eyre there on Twitter. Looking ahead to tomorrow's game then, Alex, very quickly in regards to the starting lineup for Pompey, can you see this one being unchanged after two home league defeats, or are you predicting a few changes?
I'll be very surprised if we are unchanged. Obviously, you know, Watmore's going to have to, you know, obviously not to be available for the team. I would be very surprised if I think we should probably see Daniels in at left back. Obviously, I've made clear my preference of strike force. I do worry with Kenny's reputation. That will remain the same. Curtis is a big question. I would like to see Jacobs come in for Curtis because of he's not performing at the moment. His confidence is down. Jacobs is a better bet at the moment. I think the midfield is probably where I'm most intrigued. We've obviously got Harvey White, George Byers in now. However, I wouldn't say perhaps Naylor or Cannon would deserve to be out of the team, but if we do need to change things up and change things in the middle, then I would understand that. Yeah. I think we'd be looking at maybe, you know, including Watmore, perhaps three changes for the game, something like that. And that's sort of within reason of Kenny being stubborn as he is, as we all know. but also then having to take into account that we haven't performed well in the last two games and we do need to change things around.
Stephen Jerome on the emails. Hi guys, I think we would have had a great chance to bounce back on Saturday after two very disappointing defeats at home, so I felt somewhat frustrated to have the game called off, but I think it was the right decision. The pitch did look awful and I hope they get it ready for tomorrow night. I'm a bit baffled why Jordi Huwula has been left out of the squad recently. Has the game gone ahead on Saturday? He wasn't even named on the bench. I don't get that when I thought Kenny brought him in to play football. He scored a couple of great goals for us, especially in the FA Cup, and I don't understand why he's not been given a chance. What has he done wrong? Stephen Jerome on the emails there. And one last one here from Mike T in Southsea on the text. Good evening, Jake. It's third time lucky tomorrow. Hope the rain holds off to allow Pompey to find their winning ways again. And don't forget your packet of lucky Jaffa cakes, or two or three. Mike T in Southsea. Mike, I can confirm I'm off work tomorrow, but I did buy them today, ready for tomorrow night's game. Unfortunately, I'm not going up to the Valley. That's the job of Liam and Ryan tomorrow, but I will be here in the studio, the nice warm studio, with my pack of Jaffa cakes on my own. So yes, hopefully that will be the good luck charm tomorrow, Mike T and Southsea. And just a few score predictions before we do head off. Colin Stewart's going for a 3-0 Charlton win. Peter Digby's going for a 1-0 draw. Steve Oxen's going for a 2-0 Pompey win. Anthony Lee says 3-0 Pompey. Tim Wood's going for a 2-1 Charlton win. And Alan Snelling is going for a 0-0 draw. Very quickly, Alex Fletcher, what do you reckon?
Well, we have to be optimistic. I'm never, ever going to predict us to lose a game, no matter who we're playing. So I'll go 2-1 Pompey.
2-1 Pompey. And very, very quickly, Blake.
I'm going to agree with Alex and go 2-1. I'm never going to predict us to lose or draw. You've got to be positive. Got to hit them to 2-1.
Lads, thank you both so much for calling in this evening. I'm going to revise my prediction from Friday, which was a 1-0 defeat for Pompey to a 1-0 Pompey win. Feeling slightly more confident today as opposed to last time out. Well, that's just about all we've got time for here on the Football Hour tonight, unfortunately. But I'll be back on the airwaves with Liam Howes and Ryan Stilwell from 6 o'clock tomorrow evening to bring you full coverage of match day 24 of Pompey's League One campaign.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
Portsmouth have found a way yet again.
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
A storm in the capital prevented the Blues from fulfilling their previous league fixture. Kenny Jackett will take his side back to the Valley to take on Charlton Athletic just 3 days after it was originally scheduled to be played. Join us for all of the unmissable action tomorrow evening from 6.
Pompey Live on Express FM with Aqua Cars.
That may be all from myself, Alex and Blake this evening, but as always, we've still got plenty more to look forward to here on Express FM over the course of this evening and the next couple of days. Dan Ogus is back from 9 o'clock tonight with more folk and blues music with Scattering the Roots right the way through till 11 when Liam Howes takes over with the Express Wind Down. Nothing but soothing tunes to help you relax into the early hours. Mason Jordan will be returning to wake you up tomorrow morning from 7 with Express Breakfast, where he'll have just great songs, the Rewind Year from 9 o'clock, and all of the latest travel, weather, news and sport updates until 10 a.m, which is when we'll hand you over to Darren Gamblin. Ian James is back at 1 playing Who Am I before starting the Victory Years at 2, and James Bursey will be live from 4 to get you home safely with Drive Time, with more great songs and the latest on the roads too. If you missed any of that or want to look ahead to the next week of scheduling here on Express FM, you can visit expressfm.com/programmes to look at our schedule for the next 7 days or so. But before all of that, it's the return of Jeff Dorsett and Adrian Collis with the Soft Rock Show right after the news at 7 o'clock. I look forward to welcoming you along again to Pompey Live from 6 p.m. tomorrow to see if the Blues can return to winning ways with a victory over Charlton Athletic. But until then, thank you for listening, enjoy the rest of your evening and have a safe and healthy rest of your week. Play up Pompey and good night.